Today I continue a series of sermons which I began last week at another Mass, and that is concerning the end of the world in general, and we are concerned today with the Antichrist. I was speaking last week about the Antichrist. I continue to speak about him today. And we saw the predictions of some of the fathers, namely St. Augustine and St. Cyril of Jerusalem. We today are looking at some of the other observations of the fathers of the Church concerning the Antichrist. They say for 3.5 years, all public worship will be done away with. And they also comment that Rome will be the seat of the Antichrist, something which was repeated at La Salette by Our Blessed Lady. Rome will be the seat of the Antichrist. They also say that the Antichrist will perform wondrous signs and miracles, and that he will persecute the Church more cruelly than ever. Now, Cardinal Newman, writing a little over 100 years ago, also had some interesting comments about the Antichrist. He said that Antiochus in the book of Maccabees is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. Now, who is Antiochus? Antiochus was the governor of Syria, which took in at that time Palestine, and he was the Greek, the successor to Alexander, essentially, living about between the years 200 and 150 B.C., approximately that time. And what he did was to introduce into the Jewish worship the practices of the pagans. And so he stopped the true Jewish worship, at that time true, the true faith at that time, in the temple, and ordered the priests to carry on pagan worship. And he was opposed by the Maccabees. Now, if you read the first and the second book of Maccabees, which are the last books of the Old Testament, it is all about the struggle of the faithful Jews against the tyrant Antiochus, who wanted to change the Jewish religion. And writing over 100 years ago, it is interesting that he said Antiochus is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist, which says to us that part of what the Antichrist will do will be an attempt to change the true faith. He also said that Julian the Apostate was a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. He was a man who, as a young man, spent time with Saint Basil and Saint Gregory Nazianzen as a student in Athens, studying theology. But yet, when he ascended the throne of Rome, he repudiated the Catholic faith altogether and wanted to reinstate the worship of the Roman gods. And again, Cardinal Newman says he is a prefiguration of the Antichrist, an apostate. And he also said Mohammed was a prefiguration. Now, he points out that in each of these cases, infidelity and heresy preceded these antichrists. In the case of the Antiochus, you had the infidelity of the Jews. For Antiochus prevailed upon most of the Jewish priests to accept the new religion. With Julian the Apostate, he came right on the heels of Arianism, which was the denial of the divinity of Christ. And Mohammed came on the heels of centuries of heresy in the East, notably Nestorianism and other heresies concerning Christ. And Cardinal Newman said, this is a writing in the 1860s or 1870s, feels that the present times are ripe for the Antichrist because of the apostasy of nations. See, already in the 19th century, nations were beginning to throw off the faith altogether. He points out that it has been universally accepted by Catholic tradition that the Antichrist would be of Jewish origins and would observe Jewish rites. And when we see today the prevalence and ascendancy of Judaism, we are not surprised that this would be a characteristic of the Antichrist. And he said that the Antichrist will institute his own worship. So these are very interesting, especially in that they were written at a time when this situation in the church was not foreseeable. And so, having commented all of these things, we can make a list or a summary of what the signs of the end of the world are. And they are these. The preaching of the gospel throughout the whole world. This is mentioned as one of the conditions for the end of the world the end of the world in the Catechism of the Council of Trent. The conversion of the Jews. St. Paul has a number of places where he makes reference to the conversion of the Jews. That is a general conversion, maybe not down to the last person, but a general conversion of the Jews before the end of the world. The return of Elias, and most say also Henoch, but at least Elias, that is someone who will oppose the Antichrist. A general apostasy from the faith, which we are certainly living through right now. This is also mentioned by the Catechism of the Council of Trent as one of the conditions to be fulfilled before the second coming of Christ. The reign of the Antichrist. This is the third condition mentioned by the Catechism of the Council of Trent. Now, when that was written, none of these things, either the preaching of the gospel throughout the world, or the general apostasy, or the reign of Antichrist, had taken place. But we see now that two of these things have been fulfilled, that is, the preaching of the gospel throughout the world, and the general apostasy. So we're waiting for the reign of the Antichrist. The persecution of the just, and the disturbances of nature, these will precede the end of the world. The abomination of desolation in the holy place, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That is, some sort of awful form of religion in the holy place, which is, of course, the church. The sign of the Son of Man appearing in the heavens, which according to all the commentators is the sign of the cross. The destruction of the world by fire, and the coming of Christ to judge the living and the dead. And then the renewal of the face of the earth, where the earth will become the place in which the resurrected just will live, all the while enjoying the beatific vision of God. That is, in summary, the signs of the end of the world. What their order is, and when they will come, of course, no one knows. But these are the things which must take place. Now, there is another interesting thing about all of this, and that is the theory of the seven ages of the church. In the Apocalypse, in the second book of the Apocalypse, the second chapter of the Apocalypse, you have the letter to the seven churches, or the seven angels of the seven churches. And whereas most commentators say that these refer to bishops of dioceses living at that time, there are some who say that these are not bishops of dioceses living at that time, but rather this is a message of Christ to the church in seven successive ages. And it is interesting if we look at that. The first letter is to the church of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus means thrust or force in Greek. And this corresponds to the energy of the apostolic age, but which is also marred by false adherents and false apostles and the misery, the heresy of Gnosticism and the sect of the Nicolaites. So there is already some of the Antichrist or the work of the Antichrist starting at that time. And next is the Church of Smyrna. And so this goes from the Apostolic Age, which closes at about 100 AD, to 312 AD. And, according to the commentators, this comes from the word myrrh, which means death. And this is the period of the persecutions. And this text in the Apocalypse makes reference to the 10 persecutions. That is, the persecutions of the 10 emperors who put to death the Christians. The next age is represented by the letter to the angel or bishop of Pergamum. Now, Pergamum was a city famous for its writers because it was the place where paper was produced. And this is the age of heresies, and this goes from the year 312 AD to 800 AD, the time of the great doctors of the church and the fathers, St. Augustine, St. Gregory Nazianzen, St. Gregory of Nyssa, St. Basil, all of the great writers of the church who explain the faith so deeply and so perfectly. The next age is that of Thyatira, and this represents the splendor and triumph of the Middle Ages. This goes from 800, according to the commentators, to 1800 A.D., That is, 800 is the crowning of Charlemagne. And the crowning of Charlemagne marks the beginning of Christian Europe. For the states of Europe, in the person of Charlemagne and his successors and the subsequent kings, recognized the Catholic faith as the one true faith. And for 1,000 years, from 800 to 1800, there was a recognition of the true faith. At the same time, however, there are schisms and heresies. There is the break of the Greeks in the 11th century, and then there is the Albigensian heresy in the 13th century, and the Protestants in the 16th century. But nevertheless, as a whole, the recognition of the true faith holds. And then there is the Church of Sardis. Now, this is our age. And the Church of Sardis is the place where Croesus reigned. Croesus was a man in the ancient times who was extremely rich. Extremely rich. And the word Sardis conjures up the notion of money and prosperity. And Cardinal Bio, who was a French cardinal writing in the 1920s, says this about the Church of Sardis. Quote, "Everywhere apostasy, everywhere defection, and while most defect from the faith, a few will retain the faith of Christ," unquote. Now this, he was writing in the 1920s and predicted that in this age and in a short time, there will be a general apostasy from the faith. He also predicted in the 1920s that the state of Israel would be established and that there would be a push and an urge to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And it is commended to the church of Sardis that it invariably retain with all its strength whatever has been handed down by the apostles. It says, "And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things, saith he, that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast the name of being alive, and thou art dead." If that is not a description of the Novus Ordo, I don't know what is. Thou hast the name of being alive, and thou art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, which are ready to die. For I find not thy works full before my God. Have in mind, therefore, in what manner thou hast received and heard. So there is a call to retain tradition there. Have in mind, therefore, in what manner thou hast received and heard, and observe and do penance. Observe and do penance. If then thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know at what hour I will come to thee. But thou hast a few names in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. That refers to a few who will not believe the lie. And they shall walk with me in white because they are worthy. He that shall overcome shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. After that comes the sixth age, which is that of Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. And according to the commentators, this is an age of triumph for the church. And it is ushered in by the conversion of the Jews, who, by the power an influence that they have retained from the age of prosperity, will give the church, by their conversion, an age of great splendor and strength. And the final age is that of Laodicea. This comes from a Greek word which means the judgment of the peoples. Laos means people, decay in Greek means judgment. And this is the second coming of Christ. So I will end here this installment of the series of sermons concerning the Antichrist and the end of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.